You're listening to the 12-2 Leadership Podcast. 12 minutes, 2 takeaways, empowering you to pursue excellence in all you do.
But welcome to 12-2, where we say, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you will so test and approve what God's will for your life is. My name is Justin, and we'll be together today for approximately 12 minutes, give or take, but we're going to leave with 2 key takeaways that will help us brainwash our peers. Just kidding. That's not why we're here. Sorry if I let you down. That's not why we're here. But we are here to learn how to train our brain. And you may be thinking, well, what exactly does that mean? Why do I need to do it? Like, training my brain? Doesn't my brain work just fine? And those are great questions that we'll address today. But first, let's talk about you for a second. I don't know much about you, but there's one thing I do know about you, and it's this. You are your own worst enemy. Or at least if you're not, you have the potential to be, right? You have the ability to sabotage yourself better than anyone else. And how do I know that? Because the same is true for all of us. And the same is true for all of us because our thoughts determine our reality and our thoughts originate with us. But here's the cool thing about this. This also means we have the potential to be a strong ally for ourselves as well. Probably one of the oldest examples of this relates to how much water is in a glass, right? You're familiar with this, but basically you have a glass or a cup, and it's filled to half capacity with water. And then the question is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? And supposedly, an optimist will say that the glass is half full. But a pessimist will claim that the glass is half empty. And then a smart aleck, this is a family-friendly show, a smart aleck will say that the glass is completely full because half is filled with air and half is filled with water, so the glass is totally full. But the crazy thing is technically all of these responses or answers are correct. But the ironic conclusion about this illustration is that they may be correct, but all three are very different realities. In the corporate world and, you know, in the leadership world, we have a similar illustration, but we call it taking ownership. And if you've, you know, worked in the corporate world for any amount of time, especially if you're in leadership, you're familiar with this. But basically, when members of an organization assume responsibility for outcomes in the workplace, it's called taking ownership. And, you know, and conversely, like when someone abdicates responsibility, we call it failing to take ownership. And when the latter happens, like frequently or consistently, we sometimes you may even say someone has a victim mentality. That's especially true outside the workplace, but especially when someone claims that outcomes are always someone else's fault. You may know people like this. And like our previous example, the ironic conclusion in the workplace as well as outside the workplace too is that we're not always the cause of the outcomes, right? Like whether we choose to take responsibility of the outcomes or not, we are not always the cause of it. Sometimes we are responsible for things that other people did. And likewise, sometimes other people are responsible for things that we did. But regardless of the outcome, choosing to take ownership or choosing to not take ownership results in two very different realities for the person. And what these two examples have in common is why we're here today. It's why we're here to learn how to train our brains, because whether you realize it or not, your mindset determines your reality. How you view the world around you determines how you experience the world around you. And if you forget everything else I have to say today, please, please, please remember this. Your mindset determines your reality. Your mindset determines your reality. Like it or not, it's true. If you think the world's in the toilet and the market's in the tank, well, I can't fix that, but I can fix the drink. Country music joke. Chris Jansen. Look it up. Great song. Anyway, but seriously, if this is true for you, you are likely to approach the world around you with skepticism and pessimism, or like in the song, just kind of write everything off. Fix the drink. Write it off. Don't matter. And like in our example earlier, like if you're walking around with a victim mentality, you're going to be inclined to believe that everyone is always out to get you, or that maybe that you're like will perpetually or forever be alone and life is hopeless, or maybe it's just like this never-ending series of bad luck and you know things can't seem to go well for you. On the contrary, if you believe you control your destiny, you may be more likely to take action or to make a move or get uncomfortable in your life. If you believe God controls your destiny, you may be walk through life like courageously and confidently. Or maybe you believe that God controls your life, but that God is not for you or does not care about you. Then you may walk through life in despair. But the point being in all these examples is that your mindset determines your reality. And that leads us to our first takeaway of how to train your brain. It's simply this: capture your thoughts. We have to learn how to capture our thoughts. My uncle used to tell me that your brain is a muscle and that you need to exercise it. I imagine many anatomy teachers would agree with that, right? Bad joke. Anyway, I was also a teenager when he told me this, and looking back, I'm beginning to think that maybe I wasn't using my brain, which is why he told me. But regardless, there's certainly some truth in this, right? Exercising or changing your mindset requires practice. It requires repeated engagement. It requires repetitions. Just like a tennis player who's wanting to improve their serve, training your brain, strengthening your mindset requires practice. Learning to control how you respond to things requires practice. And learning to see a different perspective requires practice. And just like practicing sports, like training your brain at times will be challenging and it's going to be downright awkward. And that's okay. And so to learn how to do this, I wanted to turn, or thought we could turn, to Scripture. And why, you may ask? The simple reason is because, for me at least, following Jesus and applying principles of Scripture to my life has helped me train my brain and capture my thoughts. In the words of Andy Stanley, following Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. And at least for me personally, that has been very true. And so I'm here to share some principles and some things that can help us train our brain. And to start with, Jesus, in the New Testament, warns his disciples that what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And then the author of Proverbs warns us in a similar way that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And then moving along, Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." And that's where we get this idea of capture your thoughts. And then finally, in his letter to the Philippians, Paul says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And so this is it. This is how we train our brain. The first step is learning to pause. The first step to training our brain is learning how to pause and recognize when you're affected by something, like when you're feeling emotional, when you're struggling, when you're anxious, etc. You know, the list goes on. Practice pausing. Allow what you're experiencing to sink in. Make sense of it. Think on it. You know, mull on it. Chew on it. Name what you're feeling. Define your expectations. Acknowledge unmet expectations. Call your emotions by name. Admit what you're feeling. Admit what you're experiencing. Jesus, and the author of Proverbs, warns us to be mindful of what's inside of us, right? They're telling us to be aware of what our default is. And then Paul instructs us to take whatever that default is, take it captive, and make it obedient to Christ. Another, aka, like basically we want to capture our thoughts and then turn them into thoughts of truth, nobility, righteousness, purity, loveliness, admiration, excellence, and praise. And then we want to do it again and again and again and again. We capture and coerce our thoughts. Why? Because our thoughts have a tendency to run amok when we're unintentional with them, right? And also, our thoughts influence how we speak. They influence how we act, how we interpret, how we respond. And that's essentially our second takeaway, is control your response. So we're going to capture our thoughts and then control our response. We capture our thoughts and then we control our response. It's that simple. And honestly, you may be thinking, that sounds fine and dandy, but you don't know my story, because I've experienced some really horrible things and or difficult things throughout my life, and I had no control over any of it. And honestly, if I, Justin, heard your story, I would be strongly inclined to agree with you. But here's my point, and I promise when I say this, it is not to belittle what you have experienced. We have all gone through some really tough crap that we had no control over. Some of us have gone through like worse things than the rest of us. But we can always, always, always control how we respond. We can choose a perspective on the situation. We can always control how we respond, and we can always choose a perspective on the situation. They say there are two sides to every story, right? Well, the truth is there are actually multiple, many sides to every story, which means there are multiple perspectives to choose from. There are multiple ways to respond, multiple angles, multiple views. You have a choice. And one of my favorite quotes is from Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. Frankl, a Holocaust survivor, says this. He says, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." My goodness, I love this. Like, here is a man who survived one of history's greatest atrocities, and on the other side, he still believes that a person is in control or has the ability to determine their attitude. That's wild. That's also really good news, right? And so now the question is, do you have the courage to believe this? Do you have the courage to believe this? Are you willing to change your mindset? Are you willing to change your worldview? Your future may depend on it. The life you want to live just may depend on it. We control how we respond. And that's simply like it. That is the secret to how to train your brain. That's how to train your brain. You capture your thoughts and you control your response. That's it. Because your mindset determines your reality, and your reality is your life, right? Your mindset determines reality, and your reality is your life. So live the life you want. Learn how to train your brain. And that's all I have for you today. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you here at 12-2. We'll see you same time next week here at 12-2.